Hey everyone, this is Laura Vandervoort. I played Supergirl or Kara Kent on Smallville, Lisa on V, and currently Elena Michaels on Bitten, and you're listening to Comic Book Central, where comic books come to life.
Hello out there, all you super fans. Welcome to Comic Book Central, where comic books come to life. Yes, they do, right here. I'm your host, Joe Stuber. Thank you for joining me here in the lair for yet another fun-filled episode. And I want to say thanks to so many of you out there for making Comic Book Central a part of your regular podcast playlist. Got some recent shout-outs on a few other podcasts. Some of you folks have been letting me know through emails, through Facebook, that you've heard about Comic Book Central on some of those other shows. You've now subscribed to Comic Book Central on iTunes. You're going back through the catalog, all the back episodes there in iTunes or at the website, comicbookcentral.net. You're checking those out. I thank you so much for that. And of course, big thanks to some fellow podcasters for getting the word out about the show. As always, Derek Cook over at monsterkidradio.net. And Ed Dalista over at the IndieCast.
Tune in each fortnight to the IndieCast, the world's number one Indiana Jones fan podcast.
Trust me.
Featuring the latest news, reviews, and interviews with on-screen and behind-the-scenes talent who help bring to life the greatest adventure movie series ever made. Each episode has the latest from the world of Indiana Jones, as well as interactive segments, trivia, contests, and specials, including radio dramas and music retrospectives. The IndieCast.
It's a transmitter. It's a radio for speaking to God.
Available in iTunes or listen directly at theindiecast.com.
If adventure has a name, it must be the IndieCast.
Now, just to let you know, my podcast partner and I, Keith Voss, we've got a big anniversary segment coming up toward the end of June on the IndieCast, so be sure to check that out. We're celebrating 4 years, our fourth anniversary of the Further Adventures of Indiana Jones segment on the IndieCast, so we're going to have something special planned just for that. Check that out at the end of June. Also, Derek Cook and I are going to be talking about Superman and the Mole Men on Monster Kid Radio very soon, so be sure to stay tuned to that. I will let you know when that episode is up and running. Also, there's a pretty cool promo exchange going on over in Facebook land. There's a page called the Podcast Community. You put your promo there, you swap them out. Some of you have been downloading the podcast promo for Comic Book Central. I appreciate that. You've been playing it on your show. So big thanks to the folks at the Earth Station One podcast and also the Jock and Nerd podcast. Check it out.
Are you troubled by the strange ending to Sherlock? Do you experience feeling of dread while waiting for Doctor Who to return? Have you or your family actually seen Orphan Black, Person of Interest, or Sleepy Hollow? If the answer is yes, then don't wait another minute. Log in to the home of all things geek, the Earth Station One Network.
Our podcasts are on call 24 hours a day to serve all your geek needs.
The ESO Network will be right there.
We're ready to geek out with you.
Be part of the crew at ESONetwork.com.
The ESO Network, your station for all things geek, classic, current, and beyond. Be part of the crew at ESONetwork.com.
Hey, are you a jock that likes comics?
Are you a nerd that likes comics?
Do you feel left out sometimes?
Well, then we've got the show for you.
I'm Imran.
And I'm Anthony.
He's the jock.
And he's the nerd.
And we host the Jock and Nerd podcast at jockandnerd.com. If you're looking for fun, entertaining, laugh-out-loud geek chat over all the latest Marvel, DC shows and news, visit jockandnerd.com.
Full spoiler podcast, lots of swearing.
You're such a jock.
You're such a nerd.
Oh, come on.
Shut up, nerd.
Okay.
Now, as you heard at the end of that last promo, unlike Comic Book Central, Jock and Nerd is not family-friendly podcast. So, fair warning. Don't forget, if you're ever unsure of a podcast rating, you can always check out the description of the show in iTunes. It's on the left-hand side of the page. It'll tell you exactly what that is. Again, big thanks to everyone out there for helping to get the word out about Comic Book Central, taking the promo, playing it on your show. I really appreciate that. Now, on to today's show. Supergirl is in the news in a big, big way these days. There's a new CBS show coming in the fall. The pilot, well, it did just like The Flash did last year. It found its way onto the internet. A lot of folks are wondering out there, Did somebody steal it, put it on the internet? Did CBS, quote unquote, leak it out there for a marketing ploy? Who knows? Either way, one thing is definitely for sure. The 2015 version, while we're looking forward to that, it is certainly not the first time the Last Daughter of Krypton has appeared in live action. If you're a regular listener of Comic Book Central, then you've probably already checked out my interview with the original Supergirl from the 1984 movie, Helen Slater. That was back on episode 35 of the show. Helen also appeared as a guest star on the smash hit TV series Smallville. On Smallville, the character Kara Zor-El was played by my guest on the show today. Take a listen to this. I'm going to be right back to chat with the super talented actress, Laura Vandervoort. Born and raised in Toronto, Canada, Laura Vandervoort got an early start in acting with roles on the Canadian Kid Scare Fest's Goosebumps and Are You Afraid of the Dark, and became a star with the lead role in Instant Star, and that ran for four seasons on CTV. It was during this time that producers of the CW hit Smallville were casting for Clark Kent's cousin Kara, known to the rest of the world as Supergirl. Smallville, of course, is the more grounded tale of Superman's early years. When the show premiered in 2001, the producers firmly stated no flights and no tights. And while they did stick to that, for the most part, with Clark Kent, who was played by Tom Welling, he did fly on occasion, the showrunners were starting to move away from the more down-to-earth elements that helped define the first half of the series. And by season 7, they went straight into the formation of the Justice League and Major League superheroics. In the season 7 premiere titled Bizarro, Lex Luthor is trapped in a car underwater, and he's rescued by a young woman. It wasn't long before we found out just who this mysterious woman was. The very next episode, titled Kara, told the origin of Clark's cousin and how she was sent to protect baby Kal-El, but was instead trapped at the bottom of the lake in suspended animation for 18 years.
You want to tell me what you're doing on Earth? You can trust me.
Looking for a small boy. I've searched everywhere with no luck.
Does the boy have a name?
Kal-El.
Standout episodes include Lara, where Laura Vandervoort got to work side by side with the original Supergirl, Helen Slater, who guest starred as Lara-El, Clark's biological mom from Krypton. Another great episode, Bloodline, with Kara trapped in the Phantom Zone. And of course, we've got the season 10 episode titled Supergirl. Laura's version of Supergirl lives on in the DC Universe as the comic book continuation of the series Smallville Season 11 shows Supergirl's adventures in the 31st century. In this century, Laura Vandervoort continues to thrill us with her creativity both as an author. She wrote a book for kids about becoming a superhero called Super Duper Delia. And as an actress, currently she is sinking her teeth into the role of a werewolf in the space TV network hit Bitten, which is based on the best-selling series of novels by Kelly Armstrong. Well, my guest today portrayed the last daughter of Krypton on Smallville. She was yet another alien visitor on the reimagined series V, and she can currently be seen as a werewolf on the TV series Bitten. She is Laura Vandervoort. Laura, welcome to Comic Book Central.
Thank you so much for having me.
Oh, thanks for being a werewolf, werewoman, wereperson.
At some point, I have played a human being, I promise.
What's the terminology here? Is it werewolf? Is that straight up werewolf?
Yeah, werewolf. There's no real, you know, female version of that. She's the only female werewolf to survive the bite in the world, but she is a werewolf.
Okay, she's pretty unique. Now, okay, you were born and raised in Toronto, correct?
I was, yes, in Canada.
I've got to ask this. Who would win in a Canadian werewolf throwdown? Your character, Elena, on Bitten? Or Michael J. Fox's Scott Howard from Teen Wolf?
I mean, I think in a fight, it would definitely be Elena, but in a dance-off, probably Michael J. Fox.
He's got you on that one, right?
Yeah, I think so. I grew up, you know, I love Michael J. Fox and Teen Wolf, and I thought he was amazing, so I'd let him win at anything.
I got to agree with you on that one. Yeah, you do throw down a lot in this, and you've got you've got the background to do that, correct? I mean, that's you doing a lot of the fight scenes, correct?
Yes, I grew up doing martial arts since I was, I want to say, 7. I started training at 7 and then was done around age 20. But I was a tomboy. I have my second degree black belt. And it really comes in handy for a lot of the roles that I've been playing, especially, you know, Lena on Bitten, all the fight sequences. Most of the actors all do their own stunts. We have incredible stunt doubles who do the really scary, dangerous stuff. They work so hard and are amazing, but most of us are stubborn and try to do it ourselves.
Oh, those actors. I saw your stunt coordinator. The guy looks like Burt Reynolds.
He looks like a few different people. He's pretty badass. I mean, his name's John Stead, he actually was a director of mine years ago on a film that he did. And I had forgotten, and when he came onto Bitten, he was like, "Do you remember that? You played the secretary, and now you're kicking ass." And I mean, he goes out in the wilderness when he has free time, and he's like, he wears teeth around his neck. He's like a true gritty man. Like,
he's the real thing.
Incredible. Yeah, he's the real thing.
Had you ever heard anybody doing stunts? I mean, because you can do the moves, you can do the actual moves and take somebody out. So did you? You got to pull back. But did you ever hurt any of the other actors?
I haven't. Knock on wood. I've hurt myself. Which is better than hurting someone else. But they try not to have actor-on-actor fights. By coverage, I'm fighting a stunt person. And then we can go faster and harder because they're used to it. But it's a little dangerous to have actor-on-actor because we're not necessarily all trained to be doing that. But I did have one fight sequence in the finale last year. I don't know if you can actually see it in the scene, but I did hit my head pretty hard on a desk and saw black for a little while and lost my breath. But overall, very safe.
Were you into horror movies as a kid? Did you watch these kind of things when you were a kid, or what did you watch? What kind of kid were you?
I was a little strange. I'm sure my mom would agree. I was into The Exorcist and all of the scary movies. I didn't really watch, you know, the nice, romantic, the girl saved by a prince sort of thing. I grew up watching Buffy the Vampire Slayer. I liked dark and psychological thrillers, lots of Hitchcock. And I was also a writer. I wrote a lot, and I would do really dark poetry. I'm not sure what that means, but a lot of stuff about the Reaper.
So, and now you're doing it. Now you're doing it for a living. So now, how you started off in modeling?
No, not at all. I actually started acting when I was 12.
What was your first role?
Well, I started doing background work in Canada, because you sort of have to start off there taking classes. So I did a lot of Canadian background work, things like Rhodes Avenue, Harriet the Spy, things that were shooting in Toronto. And then I did, you know, pizza commercials and Canadian Tire commercials. And then eventually my first acting job was on Goosebumps. It was a dark show for kids.
I'm sensing a theme here.
Yeah, a bit of a theme. And then Are You Afraid of the Dark? I did a lot of the darker stuff.
Okay, so you didn't scare easily, though. I mean, you just kind of enjoyed those types of things.
I like creeping people out. I like, don't get me wrong, I'll go to a horror movie and try to shut my eyes and not listen to it, but I love the experience and I love the journey that those films can take you on. It takes you into a different sort of headspace, and it's an alternate reality, and it's an escape.
Well, one of our favorite acting roles that you have, and before I get in, it's obviously Smallville. It's obviously Supergirl. We want to talk about that. But we'll jump ahead beyond that a little bit, because I'm kind of curious about V. I want to talk a little bit about V, that you were in the Reimagined series. We mentioned that early on. Was there pressure when you got that role, or did you sense any pressure of sort of remaking this classic series? Because we see that happen from time to time, and it's like, you know, there's so many expectations coming into a series like that.
Yeah, I actually hadn't heard of V when they called about playing Lisa. So I watched and I was a little concerned because it was an older series and I wasn't sure how they were going to go about remaking it. And there is always a pressure, you know. It's similar to Bitten. There were novels before we ever started filming or were cast. So there is an expectation, and there, you do want to make the fans happy of the originals or the book. So there was a bit of pressure, but not so much on me. My character was sort of a minor character on the, and then sort of started to build. I was actually only supposed to be a guest star for like 3 episodes. And then I guess they liked the chemistry of Marina Baccarin and I, and then eventually I became her daughter, and it got a little deeper. But I didn't have too much pressure on V as much as I would say with Supergirl and Elena on Bitten. But I think, you know, with Smallville, the fans were happy with how I portrayed Kara, from what I could see on social media and speaking to fans at conventions. And with Elena, there was definitely some pushback when we first started filming because the fans were so dedicated to the book. But I think now they're happy.
Fans can be a passionate bunch, that is for sure, especially when you get into these genre projects. You mentioned Marina Baccarin. What was the conversation like? There's only like, what, a 4 or 5 year age difference between the two? But she's your mom. What was that conversation like when she's...
First of all, we look nothing alike. but that didn't matter because these were skins that we were wearing. So the age thing was irrelevant, and looking similar is irrelevant in terms of the plot. But yeah, we had a good laugh about it. I mean, we were friends and got along really well, and we're similar in age. So it was a little strange for us because, you know, she'd be talking down to me as a mother, and then when we'd be done shooting the scene, we'd both be laughing about it. She's a wonderful actress and stunning, and just, you know, I was honored to work with her and Elizabeth Mitchell, Scott Wolf, everyone on that show.
Yeah, it was a very interesting take, and I think cut off a little too short before it had a chance to get going. But you mentioned that dynamic between you and Marina Baccarin, but you kind of got to flip that around in Smallville, because although you and Tom Welling are playing similar ages, you're almost kind of dictating to him, because your character is supposed to be older.
So there was the whole thing that I had to learn about being, you know, Supergirl was frozen in animation. So when she was frozen, Clark was a baby, and by the time she is unfrozen, they are similar ages, but mentally she still feels like she has to take care of him and teach him and direct him in life. So that was interesting because Tom is older than me, and it's his show. So to come in season 7 and have to play a character that tells him what to do and bosses him around was also interesting, but he was great about it.
Did you have a conversation with him about it ahead of time, and what did he say about it if that took place?
No.
Just went for it.
Really. We just sort of started filming. But we had fun because, you know, there are a lot of quirky scenes where she's trying to teach him to fly. And I just thought it was, you know, there was one scene where I am in the loft with Clark, and I'm opening the doors and teaching him how to fly, and he just doesn't get it. And so I push him, and we're supposed to cut after I start pushing him, but Tom tricked me and had like a stunt pad down below. And I had no idea, and he actually, like, fell out the window, and I thought I had killed Tom Welling. But, yeah.
How big a drop was this?
Not too big, you know.
But enough.
Horrible, but enough that if there was no pad there, I would have been fired.
The show would have been over. Yeah, you wouldn't even have to worry about that.
No.
Oh, my goodness. Did you ever get him back?
No, like, that's the thing. He's the lead of the show, and I didn't want to go, you know, pranking him or anything.
Smart move.
Yeah. Wanted to keep my job, just in case.
That's a very smart move. What did you know about the character coming into it? Were you familiar at all with her from the comics? Had you seen the movie with Helen Slater at all?
I actually self-taped. I was in Canada when the auditions were happening, so I had to put myself on tape. I sent it in, and I'd say like a good month went by and I heard nothing. So I sort of gave up on it. And then I got a phone call that they wanted me to fly to LA the next day to screen test with a few other actresses. So I thought it was probably best to do a little research before I left. Cause I actually had thought Supergirl was his sister, or I had no idea. The comic book world was new to me. So I did watch Helen Slater's version of Supergirl, but I didn't base anything on that because I knew they wanted a modern take on her. And I looked at some of the comics and read up on her past, and that's really all I had to do because Smallville had their own spin on Supergirl. Although they stuck fairly, you know, closely to the comics and all of that, it was sort of my take on it.
Yeah, and right off the bat, you get to make a great entrance as well, not only in the scene with Lex Luthor saving him under the water, but also at the end of the one episode, you get to do the classic hands on hips pose. How many times did you practice that going in?
How many times did I practice that?
Yeah. Did you base it on any of the poses you saw in the comics? Did you stand in front of a mirror? How did you? Because, I mean, you pull it off. I just was curious how many takes.
No, there was no, like, standing in front of a mirror and practicing. The one thing we did want to base on how she was in the comics was her flying, which foot was bent, which arm was out. So that was with the stunt people and the wire work and getting that iconic sort of look right. But her just standing there with her hands on her hips, it wasn't too many takes. It was green screen on a water tower, so it was just trying to stay as strong as possible, I guess.
I'm guessing your favorite episode is Lara, Season 7, Episode 6. Would that be an accurate statement?
Oh, God, it was so long ago, to be honest.
This is the one where you got to actually work with Helen Slater?
Helen Slater. I mean, I was very nervous to work with her because I didn't know how she'd feel about me. Because she was the only one to play Supergirl prior to me on the big screen. And I was nervous, but she was very sweet, very ethereal and calm. So it was amazing working with her. But I think my favorite episode, I think there was one called Supergirl.
Season 10. Yep.
Yeah, and I think that was sort of the network's sort of backdoor pilot. They were considering doing the Supergirl series at the time, but
okay, I wanted to ask you about that because as we're wrapping up, there's always like, where are we going to go with Smallville? They talked about Green Arrow. They talked about, you know, obviously they tried to do a backdoor pilot with Aquaman. Had they talked to you about possibly doing a Supergirl pilot?
No, I just got the script and I'm like, oh, cool. There's one called Supergirl, and I'm in it a lot. I had no idea. I was very naive and, you know, it was go, go, go with the schedule, so I just assumed it was another episode and heard later on that was them sort of seeing and testing it out. I think timing-wise it didn't work out because that was the age of Gossip Girl and all of those glossy, you know, rich teen shows. It wasn't really the time of the superhero TV series, which it is now, which is why they're doing the Supergirl series, which I'm excited to see.
Yeah, now, we mentioned working with Helen Slater. Did she give you any... You mentioned you were nervous coming in. How did she... I mean, did she have any advice for you as you were playing Supergirl, or just what kind of conversations did you have with her?
We didn't really... I mean, I told her I thought she was incredible, and it was great working with her, I thought the movie was great. But we didn't really discuss anything about playing Supergirl. We just sort of chatted about our lives and did the scenes. There was no discussion or sort of mentor conversation about what she thought I should do. I think she just really knew it was a whole new take on Supergirl. And she didn't really, I think she just sort of said, be who you are and make your own, you know, do your own little spin on the show or on the character.
Now you get to flip it around. Any advice for Melissa Benoist? Who's taking over the role of Supergirl? Have you met her? Have you talked with her? Have you said anything with her?
No, I haven't met her. I don't know much about the series. I tweeted her luck in the show Luck when she was cast, but I'm not familiar with her. But from what I've seen online, I think she'd be incredible and do a great job, and I'm excited for them to, you know, bring Supergirl to the forefront and give her own series. I think it's about time.
Now, Smallville always did a great job about bringing in guest stars. I mean, obviously, Christopher Reeve, Margot Kidder, Dean Cain, so many. And the showrunners for Supergirl now, they're doing a great job of that on some of the other superhero shows. So any talk of you appearing on Supergirl?
No discussion yet. I know Dean Cain and Helen are going to be on it or have been on it. I think that'd be a lot of fun if I could, you know, join in for a little bit or for an episode.
What would you like to do?
I think it would be fun to be a villain. But whatever, you know, who knows what they have in mind.
All the actors say that. That's the you get to chew the scenery. You get to go over the top with it.
Yeah, I mean, I wouldn't want to be anything like Supergirl.
And you're a writer, too. Would you write your own kind of synopsis and send it to the showrunners?
No, I'm going to let the cards fall where they may. I mean, Bitten's been keeping us busy, and, you know, I'm happy to be there, but wishing them luck. And whatever they want to do, I'm sure it'll be fantastic.
One of the challenges, I would imagine, on Smallville, because it's when you watch Smallville, it's all the beautiful people. So, and we, you know, what's the balance you had to strike as coming in as an actress of the beauty of the character, but yet the strength of the character as well? Because we have that one episode where you end up being in the Miss Sweet Corn beauty pageant. So obviously a lot of those episodes like that where you're coming in. So how do you balance that as just making sure you bring the strength out for the character?
I just focus on her strength and on the character. Whatever they want to put you in, however they want to do your hair and makeup, that's a different person's artistic take on it. But for me, I mean, the beauty pageant was a little silly. But, you know, they got to do what they got to do. And I just always make sure that there's more going on to her, you know, within the eyes, and there's more depth to her. That's important. I mean, I'm not going to believe someone is a superhero in a bikini. but I will believe that that they don't want to be there, and that they're just doing it for another reason and a task at hand, and just always have something more to it, more than meets the eye.
Well, I think you pulled that off too, because that's the character, is that she doesn't want to be in any of these. I mean, I think that comes across even in the episodes as well. They had a no flights, no tights rule on the show, but that didn't apply to your character. Did you ever have any chats with Tom Welling about that as to like why you got to do all the flying scenes?
We didn't. I mean, I think it was, you know, the story was about Clark Kent, not Superman. It was young Clark Kent and his journey to becoming Superman. So it was different for Kara. She already knew how to fly. And I mean, I never wore a cape and tights, but I did fly. And that's because I think, you know, on one level, girls are more mature than boys. So she developed those skills a little quicker than he did. And also Clark was resisting that part of himself, and he had fears within himself, so that was a reason that he couldn't fly. And I'm sure there were contractual reasons that Clark didn't fly as well. but Carol was definitely a rebellious, naive teenager, and things like the Miss Sweet Corn pageant, it was just her trying to find her place, you know, on Earth and fit in with other girls, and she was sort of, you know, falling around trying to figure out who she was. Whereas Clark was very sure of who he was. He couldn't fly because he had insecurities or whatever it may be about being a superhero.
Well, you did an amazing job with the role. Let's talk about some of the things you're working on now. We talked about Bitten. Season 2 just wrapped. So we've got Bitten, which is on the Space Channel in Canada, Sci-Fi here in the States, correct?
Yes, season 2 has finished airing on Space in Canada and is airing right now on Sci-Fi, and we're getting a lot of great feedback about it.
News on season 3?
We're going to have to wait and see.
Okay, nothing yet. And then also you wrote a children's book about a female superhero, Super Duper Delia.
Yes, that was sort of a time in my life. I wrote that quite a few years ago. Wasn't super busy. I went to school for writing, and I just sort of needed to have a creative outlet. And going to comic conventions, I would meet a lot of young girls who were 7, 8, or 9, sort of age group, and they idolized female superheroes. But I realized that there was a lot of unrealistic body types that they were looking at with the superhero dolls and action figures, and thought, what a perfect opportunity to write something that I, as a tomboy growing up, would have loved. So it's about a young girl who finds out she's a superhero. She's quirky, smart, she's a tomboy, she's very stubborn, and we're working on getting that to your screen soon with Shaftesbury.
Looking forward to that. And you're also doing some work with Humane Society and World Vision, starting strong?
Yes. I've worked with PETA and the Humane Society, and I'm very passionate about animals. recently did the Humane Society cruelty-free campaign to ban testing on animals in Canada and all over the world. And with World Vision, I had sponsored two children about 10 years ago, just out of wanting to do something, you know, on whatever level that I could, and was invited actually, you know, recently to go to Africa with World Vision in support of their Starting Strong campaign, to go into the villages in Kenya and see what World Vision has been doing in terms of healthcare, water, hygiene, that sort of thing with women. And it focuses on children who are 5 and under, because that's the primary age where children can develop, you know, health issues. So we were there for 10 days, and it was the experience of a lifetime. There was so much that I had learned about myself, and getting to know the people there. I can't wait to go back at some point. And everyone at World Vision Canada is doing such incredible work. They're in the field day and night, getting to know these people. And World Vision is one of the only organizations that sticks around for years to make sure that the communities are prepared and taken care of and educated.
Well, that's amazing work. I'm sure we can find out more about that on your website, lauravandervoort.com. Yes. And you're also on Twitter at vandykins22, correct?
Yes.
So we'll find out more about that. Laura, I know we got to get going here. So thank you so much for joining me today. And thanks for this amazing character that you've given to us on Smallville and all of the great work that you're doing right now.
I really appreciate it. And thank you for all that you guys do as well. You know, promoting comic books and female superheroes and female empowerment. So it's very appreciated.
Good news for fans of Bitten. Since recording my chat with Laura, Canada's Space TV network confirmed it has ordered a third season of its most watched original series. So congratulations to all involved in that. You can catch up with full episodes of Bitten Season 2. Those can be found on the Sci-Fi Channel's website. And you can keep up with Laura at her website, lauravandervoort.com. And you can also follow her on Twitter at vandykins22. It's V-A-N-D-I-E-K-I-N-S 22. I'm going to put those links up in the show notes at my website, comicbookcentral.net. Once again, my thanks to Laura Vandervoort for taking some time to join me on the show today. If you are a fan of Smallville, and who is not a fan of Smallville, don't forget to check out past episodes of Comic Book Central. Episode 2, right early on, Michael Rosenbaum, Lex Luthor himself, John Schneider, Pa Kent showed up. He was in the lair. Episode 70. We've got Aquaman, Alan Richson. He's on episode 61. Lana's boyfriend, Whitney. Episode 58 with Eric Johnson. And we mentioned some guest stars on the show, Dean Cain and Helen Slater. They're both in the Supergirl pilot that's coming up. They play Supergirl's adoptive parents. Dean Cain and Helen Slater, episode 22 and episode 35. Go check those all out. A lot of Smallville on Comic Book Central. Hopefully more in the months to come. All right, kids, time to hit the mailbag. Our virtual mailman, Willie Lumpkin, delivered some messages to the lair. First up, Glenn Hewitt from Geelong, Australia. Good day, Glenn. You know what? I mentioned the IndieCast. The IndieCast's Ed Dollister. He's from Geelong. Wonder if they've ever run into each other. I don't know. Glenn writes, I just want to drop you a line and say thank you for a great podcast. I just discovered it the other day via another podcast, Kevin Smith's Hollywood Babble On. And over the course of the last few days, I've been working through past episodes of Comic Book Central, most notably the podcast relating to Superman the movie, which is not only my favorite comic book movie of all time, but could possibly be my favorite movie of all time. I also love the interview with Kenneth Johnson. Such a delight to listen to. All the best and keep up the great work. Now, thank you for listening, and thank you for checking out those past episodes, Glenn. Yes, Superman, as most listeners here know, is my favorite character. Superman the movie, absolutely my favorite comic book movie adaptation, and I put it high up there on the list of all-time greats as well. Probably behind Raiders of the Lost Ark, I would say, E.T., and Empire Strikes Back. So, possibly my fourth favorite film of all time. Do I need to say it's a classic? No, it's, of course, it's everybody knows it's a classic. And I hope to have more guests from that classic film in the months ahead, so stay tuned. Next up, I heard from Dennis Morales Francis. Dennis writes, I heard about your show on Kevin Smith's Hollywood Babble On podcast. Now I'm a big fan. Love the podcast. Keep going, my friend. I'll keep going. I shall. Thanks for writing in, Dennis. And thanks again, I got to say it, to Ralph Garman and Kevin Smith. They gave us a shout out on their podcast. Seems like a lot of you discovered Comic Book Central through their Hollywood Babylon podcast. So there you go. Power of the internet right there. Keep it going, folks. Share the lair. Hashtag share the lair. Get the word out. Comic Book Central Nation continues to grow. I thank each and every one of you for getting the word out and for joining us here in the lair each and every week, joining in on the fun. Finally, I heard from Michael Burrows, who wrote in regarding my interview with Spider-Man actor Nicholas Hammond back on episode 30 of Comic Book Central. Michael writes, I just wanted to say that I loved the interview. I learned a lot about Nicholas and the series. And yes, I do wish they would put the Amazing Spider-Man TV series on DVD. Keep up the good work. Oh, thanks, Michael, for writing in. I totally agree that series is in absolute need of an official release. All we've got out there right now, think about it, we've just got some episodes on VHS. Some of those even for VHS, they're substandard quality. We've got some Laserdisc out there. We've got low-quality uploads on YouTube. Of course, we've got the bootlegs, but, you know, quality on those aren't good. They're taken from the VHS a lot of times. So it is high time for an official release. I agree. My wife and I just binge-watched a bunch of episodes last week. I recorded them back in the day off USA Network. I think it was in the 90s, and I transferred those onto some DVDs. So, yeah, my quality on these are awful. They're the combined versions where they slapped two episodes together, tried to make a movie out of it. But we still get Nicholas Hammond, Spider-Man goodness. It's awesome. So I enjoy watching it. We love this show, but it is high time for an official release. Hopefully we can see that at some point. By the way, stay tuned. In just a few minutes, you're going to hear a Spider announcement regarding Comic Book Central. Stay tuned. Thanks for writing in, everyone. Keep those emails coming in. Again, thanks to everyone for getting the word out about Comic Book Central. New listeners tuning in every week. Great to see that. You can retweet the show on Twitter at comicbookctrl, hashtag share the lair. Share it, share it, share it on Facebook, facebook.com/comicbookcentralnetwork. You can write to me, joe@comicbookcentral.net. With that, I will wrap things up for today. Time to fly on out of here. I promise you, though, I will not go as far as the 31st century. That's because I've got some business right here. I've got to prepare for a big event here on the show that starts next week on Comic Book Central. You all know my love for Saturday morning cartoons. I love me some Saturday morning cartoons from the 70s. Many of you, I know, feel the same way as well. Well, you are in for a treat. Starting on the very next episode of Comic Book Central, it is a Comic Book Central Filmation celebration. That's right. The company that brought us hour after hour of live action and animated goodness is getting some love right here in the lair. Three episodes in a row, turning the spotlight on three amazing actors featured in Filmation shows. From the Shazam Isis Hour, I'm going to be sitting down with both of those superheroes, Joanna Cameron and John Davey. I said I had a Spider announcement coming. That's it. Joanna Cameron, she was on an episode of Amazing Spider-Man. We're going to talk about that. John Davey, he's going to talk about taking over that iconic role and kicking things off next week. The actress who not only guest starred on Shazam, she soared the spaceways front and center on Space Academy. You've seen her in a million TV shows and movies, including the 1960s CBS adaptation of Blondie. She was the voice of Lucy Van Pelt in the animated Charlie Brown features. She made a memorable appearance alongside William Shatner's Captain Kirk on the original Star Trek series. Easily the hardest working child actor back in the day, Pamela Ferdin. She's going to be here next week to kick off Filmation Celebration. Until then, have a super cool week. Keep reading those comics. Thanks for joining me here in the lair. Comic Book Central, where comic books come to life. This podcast is intended for entertainment and education purposes only. All original content of this podcast is the intellectual property of Comic Book Central and is licensed under Creative Commons Attribution, Non-Commercial, No Derivations 3.0 Unported License. All of the content and names are registered trademarks and copyrights of the respective holders.
I liked it better when I was showing you the ropes.
I guess change is in the air.
This is easy for you, huh?
No, it's not easy or hard. It just is. I mean, I reach for the sky and the world just falls away. I'm not thinking of anything. I'm just in the moment.
I try to clear my mind the more I hear.
Kal-El, instead of trying to force the noise out, why don't you just focus on one thing? Like that butterfly. Live inside that one noise. Make it your whole world.
If it's mostly falling.